Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Tuesday edition of the program. We are live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Welcome to this Tuesday program. A reminder right here at the top of the show, don't forget you can find us as a podcast. If you can't catch us live at 11 o'clock, it's the next best thing. You can find us on Apple Podcast. You can also find us on SoundCloud as well. Just search the Hoosier Report, and you can basically listen on demand. You want to go back and listen to some old interviews or old shows, you can do that as well. But we're glad you're with us. A quick look at coronavirus news locally in our state. We all are on edge. We want this to go away. We want to get back to sports. And there's so much conversation going on right now in the media mainly about when sports could return, when public events and festivals and things that we enjoy doing that are a great part of our society, when could that happen again? And what we know in Indiana, at least through May 1st, the stay-at-home order is going to continue. Governor Holcomb confirming that yesterday in his press conference, which we carry daily here on the Big X. It does sound like there are beginning maybe to be some relaxations in Indiana. The first is that elective surgeries are going to be allowed. At least certain elective surgeries and procedures are going to be allowed, which had been forced to be put off because of, you know, needing hospital beds, needing nurses, needing doctors and their availability to help those with COVID-19. So that's, I guess, a small improvement, but a big improvement for some that need those things. You look at Georgia, I think I saw shopping malls and other places, salons, barbershops opening up Friday in the state of Georgia. Texas, it looks like going with a little bit more aggressive opening. Of course, there's still lots of social distancing measures and other things that have to go in place as governments, state governments, begin to relax rules. But we'll see when it happens in Indiana. I was reading a report yesterday that the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington, their report says, quote, after May 25th, 2020, relaxing social distancing may be possible with containment strategies that include testing, contact tracing, isolation, and limiting gathering size. That was their prediction or their report for the state of Indiana based on the model using all the numbers that they have access to. You'll find a lot of different models out there that'll tell you when the peak should hit. Even some of it's broken down by county or by portion of the state. But that's the first one I've seen that says maybe in Indiana, based on the models and based on the CDC update that President Trump put out last week, that maybe when Indiana could start to truly relax things. Now, that's not saying that it won't happen before. That's not saying it won't happen after. But at least according to their model as of yesterday, with what they have to work with, that's what it says, because it recommended 2 full months of a stay-at-home order, and 2 full months of a stay-at-home order would be May 25th in Indiana, a true stay-at-home order. So who knows if there's any truth to some of these models. Things have sure changed. I think we're all looking and hoping that the date for relaxation on things is sooner rather than later, but there is concern, and I know a lot of people, it's going to be interesting to watch numbers in Texas and in Georgia and in other places that are beginning or have a plan to begin to relax their stay-at-home orders, how those states are affected. I saw that in Germany, one of the big Oktoberfest in late September that runs through October, early October, mid-October, it's already been canceled. I know we're talking about Germany. I know we're talking about a huge event, an international event. I know there some of the quotes I saw, if there's anything funny about it, which nothing funny about canceling any sort of event, but you really can't wear a mask at a beer drinking festival, right? But nonetheless, some events in some countries way far out being canceled. And then, of course, right here in our area, we're hoping for college football and high school football and sports in the fall and even the Kentucky Derby in September. I mean, that's on the docket. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if it goes. But some interesting times ahead. That's just a quick look at COVID-19. Boy, it has sure affected not just our country and not just the world, but even here locally. So much that we do in our daily routines and our daily lives, no question about it, has been completely affected. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some Zaxby's headlines. We'll take a look at a Big Ten announcement surrounding COVID-19 yesterday, that they're forming an emerging or a task force for emerging infectious diseases, which sounds like it could be a barometer to help monitor some of the activities that could or could not happen with athletics and other activities in the Big Ten Conference. So we'll talk about that. Some very interesting comments yesterday across the river from UofL Athletic Director Vince Tyre. We'll tell you what he had to say about college football and some budget cuts that UofL athletics are going to take and furloughs, which I think are going to become, I would assume, fairly commonplace in college athletics, especially as we know more about what could or could not happen with the college football season. Later in the program, segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, always fun to talk to. He had a fantastic column earlier, I think it was yesterday, a thank you to leaders of sports, commissioners, governors, for canceling this stuff, because if it wasn't for the Big Ten tournament being canceled, the NCAA tournament being canceled, other sporting events being canceled, you know, Greg would be there. Media members would be there. Whether fans would be in attendance or not at some of this stuff that should have been played over the last month or so, you know, he would be there. So an interesting take, and we'll talk, and probably the right take, I think, and we'll talk with Greg about that coming up here, presented by Coffee Crossing a little bit later in the show. And then we'll wrap things up today with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Little activity with IU recruiting to talk about, some IU football activity to chat about as well. And then also in the final segment, we have our senior spotlight today. We're going to feature a senior baseball player from Jeffersonville. Connor Christopher will be our senior spotlight. Again, we've been highlighting spring sport athletes each day that basically have had their final season and their school year and everything that goes along with being a senior stripped from them because of the pandemic. We're going to tell you about a good baseball player in the area today coming up a little bit later in the program. Don't forget to visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany. And if you make a purchase of $25 or more, you can get a large bone-in ham for a special discount, 50% off at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can interact with the show. Love to hear from you. Love to get tweets and comments from fans that are listening. Some of them come in during the live program, which are great. Some of them I can tell come in based on the time, maybe at night when you're listening to the podcast. But love to hear from you. Love to know you're listening. Love to know what you think. Love to get questions and topic ideas from you. So send me a tweet today, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills. Maybe your comment, your question will get used or read on the air today. A lot of times some of the questions I come up with come from you guys, so I appreciate hearing from you. Glad to know where you're located and that you enjoy the show, because we sure enjoy having you with us along for the ride each day. Let's jump into some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Zaxby's. Don't forget they have a location in Jeff. They have a location in New Albany. The drive-thru's still open. You can get those delicious Zaxby's chicken tenders still available even during the pandemic. Yesterday, the Big Ten announced they are officially forming a task force for emerging infectious diseases. It's taking place at the request of Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. It's a 14-member task force. Basically, it gives one representative from each of the conference institution, each of the conference schools, which has been appointed by each president or chancellor of all Big Ten member schools. The release goes on to say, quote, "The task force was formed to provide counsel and sound medical advice to ensure the health, safety, and wellness of the Big Ten's students, coaches, administrators, and fans. Members of the task force represent a diverse set of disciplines across campus healthcare systems and schools of public health, and their input will serve as a resource for the conference to make important decisions based on information received from local, state, and federal health departments, along with the NCAA. Dr. Larry Rink, he's a clinical professor of medicine and more well-known as the team physician for IU men's basketball. Dr. Rink gets the IU appointment, probably very rightfully so, to that very important task force. So as we move along, and there'll be announcements coming, I think, in future weeks about is there going to be any off-season activities? Is there going to be college football with fans, without fans? There'll be some announcements, I would think, coming from either the NCAA or different conferences in the coming weeks, and it's going to be interesting to see how this Big Ten task force plays a role in maybe shaping how things can move forward, what can or can't move forward, a timetable. And I think college sports you'll see sync up for the most part as a whole on many, many things. But Big Ten taking a step forward with a emerging infectious diseases task force, something that you never think a conference is going to have to put together. All sorts of task force could be needed, have been formed over the years, but a infectious disease task force, it just kind of tells you where we're at today. Interesting comments as we move on in our headlines yesterday from Vince Tyre. He's the University of Louisville athletic director. He said, quote, "We won't be playing games with empty stands." And he said that during a virtual press conference basically yesterday with the U of L Athletic Association Board of Directors on Monday. He went on to say that the athletic department's going to take some furloughs of staff. There have been pay reductions by some of the senior staff. He even mentioned that a potential plug they could pull is a 10% reduction on coaches' salaries, which when you're talking about, you know, high-level million-dollar-plus salaries, a 10% reduction, you know, you could be talking $200,000-$400,000, depending on the annual stipend, the annual salary of your coach. So, again, just using Louisville as an example because they had a media conference or availability to hear from them yesterday, but I think more and more universities, as we've already seen, will be announcing cutbacks, trimming programs, finding ways to cut staff, to take furloughs, and maybe in some cases to even cut coaches' pay. Going to be very, very interesting to see how some of this stuff plays out. If you're thinking about college football, I think most of you are, but it's more so from a perspective of, is it going to happen, yes or no, and are fans going to be allowed, yes or no? If you're wondering about college football, I saw some way too early bowl projections yesterday, and Indiana projected for the Red Box Bowl. Again, it would be great to get back to a bowl. I think Indiana should get back to a bowl next season if everything is played. They would take on Stanford, according to the projection that I saw. But again, I think I can speak for a lot of Indiana people that, you know, making bowl games is great. It's terrific. It steps forward for the program. The football program will take any step forward possible. And I think this year, if it played out right, if it plays out right for Indiana, could be a big year. They've got some talent back. They're building, it seems. There's some new faces coming in. There's hope with Michael Penix at the quarterback slot. But I think Indiana fans would love to have a more sexy bowl than the Red Box Bowl. Nothing wrong with a bowl game. Nothing wrong with the Red Box Bowl. But a Florida Bowl, obviously, IU fans know from experience, that can be a lot more fun. But we're a long way off from bowls. I'll just take any sort of college football season for now. And let's hope we find more about that coming up soon. The Stay Home Skills Competition is our final headline today. It's a great competition. It's a conjunction of Hoosier Hills Hoops and Floyd County Parks and Recreation. Yesterday was day one. It was a shooting drill from Coach John Fania, the girls coach at Floyd Central. Today, another shooting drill. This is a drill where you're looking for your lowest time. It's called 10-5-2 shooting. The video is available at facebook.com/HoosierHillsHoops. Again, facebook.com/HoosierHillsHoops. And you submit your score. It tells you all about how to do it when you're done. You send a picture, maybe a video in if you got a young player that wants to go through this drill. You get a bonus point if you send a picture of you or a video of them doing the drill. And yesterday we had, I think it was 70-something, almost 80-something, entries in the contest. It's just for K, kindergarten through eighth grade. And there were entries coming in from Louisville, from Lawrenceburg, from Batesville, from Jasper, from Seymour, all over southern Indiana. A great radius things it reached yesterday. And interesting to see. We'll tell you some of the leaders as the week goes on. But there's a daily leaderboard, so the top players with the best scores can kind of track and see where they're at. For others that aren't on the board, motivation to try to get there. But check it out. Pretty cool deal. Lots of people stepping forward to make it possible. And another great activity for kids here in the area, for basketball players really of all ages, but specifically kindergarten through eighth grade in the area. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Tuesday program. We'll head to a commercial break. Don't forget, later in the program, our senior spotlight will be focusing on Connor Christopher, a Jeffersonville baseball standout who had his senior season basically taken away because of this pandemic. We'll do that later in the program. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star. He's a sports columnist for the Star, and he joins us on Tuesdays presented by Coffee Crossing. A couple reminders from Coffee Crossing. The downtown New Albany location with no drive-thru is currently closed during this stay-at-home period, but all the other Coffee Crossing locations, the drive-thrus remain open daily for your favorite coffee, your favorite drinks at Coffee Crossing, who brings us Greg Doyle each week. Greg, great to have you with us, and terrific column recently. I think it was yesterday's column, Days Running Together, but you write about the coronavirus and you list people, or you go through and thank different people, from governors to conference commissioners to league presidents and commissioners of professional sports, for doing the right thing as we look back on it in mid-March and canceling the Big Ten tournament, canceling the NCAA tournament, making big decisions, I guess really Adam Silver first, to cancel or postpone the NBA season immediately upon finding the first player infected with the coronavirus, because had they been played, even without fans in the building, media would have been there. Officials would have been there. Players, coaches, important staff, they would have been there, and there's no telling how many additional people in Indiana, in our country, would have been infected or perhaps been infected and then tragically passed away if sports had went on as normal, even without the fans in the stands.
Yeah, Matt, excuse me, and it's more than that. It's more than just, it's more than, hey, you kept me out of that gym, Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Walter, so thank you for that. No, it's When the Big Ten, really when Adam Silver started this whole thing, but everybody followed suit, that was the moment when this whole country, and not everybody, I realize generally you can't speak for 300 million people in one sentence, but that's the moment when a lot of people in this country realized, wait a minute, let's pay attention to this coronavirus. And all of a sudden, within 24, 48 hours, everything was shutting down. Sports, yeah, but I'm talking about shopping malls. You know, I couldn't go to my gym and work out. LA Fitness shut down. And I mean, everything was shutting down. And so there are folks now, and it just kills me that people try so hard to be ignorant. But there are people now that are like, it was all overblown. Why, you know, not enough people, or not enough, we were told more people would be sick and more people would die, and this hasn't been nearly as bad. Well, do you know why it hasn't been nearly as bad? Because we all stayed out of gyms, and because we all stayed out of airplanes, and we all social distance and all that. That is the only reason a whole lot of us are alive right now. And I don't mean this thing would have killed the whole country, but I mean, whatever the death toll is, it's a lot lower because a month ago we all got the wake-up call and Adam Silver delivered it to us. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't pretend to read everybody, but I'm not sure I've seen anybody say that. Like, thank you, Adam Silver, but you got this whole ball rolling. But thank you, Adam Silver.
And the best part about Adam Silver, Commissioner Silver, getting the ball rolling is literally, and I think you put this in your column, it was announced that Rudy Gobert had coronavirus or was positive for coronavirus, and literally within 5 minutes the decision had been made, we're finishing a game, and that's it, everything's on hold. It wasn't one of these wait and see or draw it out, or you think it's going to eventually happen but you got to get the meeting of the owners together for a conference call. It was something that happened immediately, looking back on it, as it should have. I mean, it NBA basketball came to a screeching halt as quickly as it possibly could.
It was literally 4 minutes later, and I suppose to a certain extent, Shams Charania of, I think it's The Athletic, deserves a little bit of credit. I mean, he's the one that broke the news on Twitter that Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the coronavirus, and that was 9:27 p.m. March 11th. Literally 4 minutes later, Adam Silver put the season on the ice, and you know, there's a great video, and ESPN and a lot of places have shown it a lot, of Mark Cuban sitting at that Mavericks game looking at his phone and convulsing, almost in shock. I mean, just like he can't believe what he's reading. He's showing it to whoever's sitting next to him, and it's whatever the tweet is that he's – obviously the news is the NBA is shutting down. And, yeah, Adam – I mean, that – in other words, just about one of your richest owners didn't know until he read it either. So, yeah, Silver just acted unilaterally. And I'm not sure how much power he has to do what he did. I mean, I'm sure he had the power, I guess, but at the same time, it really didn't matter. Because once the commissioner says, this is too dangerous, we're not playing anymore, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. And again, I just come back to, and I know there's got to be some people listening that are on this boat, and I don't mean to insult anybody. You lose your audience by being mean to people, but I just really don't understand why there's a logic gap here, why you can't add two and two. The reason why we're doing – and we're not doing great, but the reason why we're doing better than some projections is because we were so careful. And so, and I, you know, I need sports back professionally. I mean, I need to get back to my gym personally. I mean, I'm not thrilled with life right now by any stretch of the imagination. So I hope we all get back sooner than later. But can we please not just let's not survive this in spite of ourselves, which is what we were going to do until Rudy Gobert tested positive and Adam Silver shut it down. That was the moment when we all realized, okay, let's treat this thing carefully. And now that we're doing fairly well, and again, we're not doing well, but we're doing better than the projections, too many people are like, well, it's all over. It's not over. This is how many wildfires in California start because somebody stupidly dropped a match. You know, let's not be that person and stupidly drop a match and have the coronavirus start up again crazy. Not that it's slowed down enough either.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. I think we all have, a moment or two that we remember or will remember the most from this. And, you know, we don't know how long we are from being out of the weeds either. Some of those moments, and I hope it's not the case, but could still be ahead of us, especially if you know someone that has the coronavirus, or even worse, you know someone that has passed away from the coronavirus, which is even more terrible. But what, fortunately, I know of a few people, other than maybe Paul Logan, the great North Central Athletic Director that passed away, no one on a terribly personal level has died. Jody Demling in Louisville has been a longtime friend, and he battled through it on a ventilator, but made it, thank God. But I think a moment for me that I look back on now, and I know we're talking about looking back on Adam Silver's decision so quickly to cancel, I look back on the sectional. Of course, it was a long way from Seymour, where I was at, although there was one of the early cases that was on his list of places that he attended was the Seymour sectional. But up the road in Indianapolis, that 4A sectional, it was a great one with Lawrence Central, Lawrence North, North Central, so much great talent, teams and individuals in the gym that week. And you look back now, this was in your column as well, and Kyle Neddenrip has talked about it on this program and just did a story on it as well. But I think a dozen or so people that either were infected with the coronavirus, had symptoms of the coronavirus, probably more, if truth be told, if everybody came forward that was there, plus some folks, five I believe it is, that were at that sectional, including athletic director Logan, a couple assistant coaches, or one assistant coach from Lawrence North that has passed away, some super fans from Lawrence North and Warren Central that have passed away. That's all from one high school sectional in the state of Indiana. And I think for now, that's a moment that really resonates with me because of how much I'm around high school sports and love high school sports. That, damn, this stuff had to be canceled when you hear stuff like that happening.
Yeah, in happier times, in less aware times, it's possible somebody would have described that Lawrence Central sectional because it had three or four of the best five or six teams in the state, including some Mr. Basketball candidates. You know, you may have described that as, man, that's a sectional to die for. I mean, that's just a great sectional. But people actually died that were at that sectional. And we'll never know. We'll never know where people contracted the virus. But, you know, when, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 people are in a gym and close to 20 are known to have, you know, caught it and five of them are dead, it's not a very big leap to say it, you know, most of that happened right there. And, you know, I didn't write this in my story, the one that you're talking about how, hey, thank you, Adam Silver, but also thank you, Mark Emmert, and thank you, all these commissioners, all these people that were just getting trashed. It was mainly Mark Emmert, just getting trashed for, what are you doing? You know, it's too soon. You're canceling. And, you know, thank you to all of those folks, but I didn't write this. I don't want to be mean in my story, but just, it's got to be said, and this is not a rhetorical question. I guess I'm asking you to answer it, Matt. What was, as far as you know, in this state, what was the last kind of pretty big sport to realize, yeah, we're going to shut down? What was the last one that begrudgingly did it?
I would have to probably say high school basketball.
The IHSA, yeah. Yes, begrudgingly. And that was, of course, we didn't know what had happened to Lawrence Central Sectional, but my God, I mean, you know, I've had a lot of problems with Bobby Cox over the years. I've written several times. And so I just wasn't going to do it again in that story. Wasn't going to pile on, but I'm glad he's leaving. They have a new commissioner coming in. I think they've named him.
Yep.
Maybe he's already replaced Bobby. But the IHSA, since the moment I got to this state in 2014, has needed new leadership. I mean, and I'm sure it was that way before I got here. But the decisions that were consistently made that weren't in the best interest of kids, that were in the best interest of appearances or the IHSA's pocketbook or whatever, the way they embraced, I mean, the IHSA embraced Friday Night Football in college on ESPN. They embraced it. Like that's like a mouse embracing a garter snake. Mm. That thing's going to kill you. What are you doing? But the IHSA, anyway, so you can tell I'm still pissed off. The more I think about it, that all these around the world, people were shutting down because some things are bigger than your legacy, Bobby Cox. But he wasn't going to be the commissioner that shut down the IHSA tournament. That wasn't going to be him over his dead body. Well, thank God we didn't have a tournament. We'll never find that out.
Yeah, fortunately it was canceled. I tell you, it would have been an odd occurrence to play without fans in some of those great regional locations. And again, a major, major safety hazard had that thing been played on regional Saturday in our state. Greg, I want to continue our conversation and wrap up with this, another sports topic that surrounds COVID-19. In the headlines today on this show, I mentioned some comments from University of Louisville athletic director yesterday about furloughs in the athletic department and the potential measures, let's say if college football wasn't played and budget situations got even worse, that could be taken by the athletic department, maybe 10% cuts of coaches' salaries, head coaches' salaries, and he went through a full list of things. But as I get bits and pieces, and we haven't heard much from Scott Dolson since he took the job or from Archie Miller about men's basketball and what's going on, but some of these schools they're having virtual press conferences. They're answering questions. They're putting stuff out there. And I guess as more happens, as more of those happen, Cincinnati, Louisville, others in other parts of the country, it sure seems like the message is clear. College athletic directors are extremely worried about the financial situation as it stands now, and even more so if college football and fall sports are not played. I sense a real stress for a lot of the nation's college athletic directors, and I tell you what, I think as this waiting game continues to see what can be played, what can't be played, when it can be played, shortened, not shortened, there's going to be a lot of stressful moments and a lot of cuts in staff, salaries, and perhaps even programs by some of these conferences and schools.
Yeah, after Embert canceled the tournament, a lot of reasons wanted me to, you know, use the platform I guess I have, just get him on the phone and ask him why. And so I did. I did that and wrote about it. And one thing, one of the more telling things, at least to me, the more surprising thing that came out of conversation was him talking about the financial ramifications of all this and how anybody that thinks we did this easily has no idea what they're talking about, because we knew by canceling March Madness it was just the worst possible thing to happen to all of us financially, and we did it anyway. And I said, put that into words. What do you – because he said there'll be – we don't even know the unintended consequences of that down the road. We know they're coming. And I said, give me an example. What do you mean? Are we talking about, are schools going to just drop sports, or are games going to be canceled down the road? He said he didn't know, but something. And so now what you can imagine happening, and I hadn't really thought about this until you asked the question, but what you can imagine happening for sure, depending on how long the college football season goes without playing, and I wouldn't be surprised if it never happens this year, what I can see happening is them just not even having sports a lot of in the spring, just to save money. It'll suck for those kids, but it costs money to do stuff and to travel and to all this. And you just might see a lot of Olympic sports just not even happen in the spring because no one can afford to do it because they've lost all this revenue. It's just a crappy byproduct of all this. But, you know, there are folks out there without jobs. There are folks out there, a lot of folks without jobs. There's a lot of folks out there that have died or almost died. So I'm just not going to get real upset about, but what about the seniors? I'm sad for them. I'm writing once a week about high school seniors in my city that have missed out on their season. I'm calling it my senior class project. It runs in the paper every Thursday. I'm sad for them. But as far as necessary cuts being made down the road, if you got your health and your parents or someone has a job, then you're ahead of the game.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, good stuff. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, as always, appreciate the chat. And I got a message here while we were chatting from Dugan Ryan, the owner of the Big X, who is a big Greg Doyle fan as well. And he says, Greg is a birthday boy today. Is that the case?
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy birthday one of those from the Big X.
Thanks, Dugan. I need to get paid more now, but by everybody, including Indy Star, my decade just went up in numbers. It's one of those numbers. It's one of those where both numbers in your two-digit thing. Yeah, it's not a great one. But I will say so. Thank you, Dugan, for the happy birthday wish, and you too, Matt, if you said that. But last thing I want to say before I go is support your local businesses. Coffee Crossing is a big part of the show for me, and I appreciate them. So support them, but support your local businesses. And when you pick up your food or have it delivered, especially if you pick it up and you're inclined not to tip somebody, because we're going to get through this together, but let's help.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, joins us each week, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, look forward to our conversation each week. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
And I didn't know about Jody Dimling at all. So you're saying he made it. So I didn't,
yes, on a ventilator.
I didn't even know anything.
For precautionary measures, but made it. And at last report, has been home now for a week. And very concerning there, but he appears to be fine. So thank God.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Jody. Okay, thanks, Matt.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Tuesdays. One other reminder as well, Chris Grinham of Forbes Sports. We've had him on occasionally to talk Romeo Langford in Boston and even Maine as well. He had a great story yesterday on Forbes.com, how Celtics Romeo Langford became the hometown hero of New Albany, Indiana. Really good read, some quotes in there from myself, from Coach Shannon of New Albany, Mayor Jeff Gahan of New Albany. Check it out. I retweeted it at Hoosier Hills. We're going to have Chris on tomorrow to talk about that story, just to kind of get a Romeo update. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. We're joined by Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. In this segment, we're going to talk some IU basketball, some recruiting, maybe a little football as well. And then later in the program, we have our senior spotlight, and we've been featuring different seniors, profiling them from across the area that have had their senior seasons taken from them, and so much in their senior year, their graduation, their proms, and so many other things taken from them because of the pandemic that we find ourselves in. And today, Connor Christopher of Jeffersonville Baseball is who we will tell you all about coming up as we close the program out later in this segment today. Mike, thanks for being with us. And yes, a lot of things are slow, but basketball recruiting continues, and the discussion about college football and will that season happen, not happen, will fans be there or not be there, that continues to dominate a lot of the conversations on Pegs.com and really across the sports landscape. So never really a slow time, I guess.
Yeah, I think coaches have settled into the new normal, and the communication is up with recruits, and a lot of it's video conferencing through Zoom or Skype or what have you, and that's, and things are moving along. And then Indiana, you know, like you know, just picked up a commitment recently here, and was working on other players, and has had some new offers. So, you know, I think things are slower than they would have been, but they're not. They haven't screeched to a halt, and things are moving forward.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Luke Goody off the board, the recruiting board, that is. I mentioned him yesterday and had a couple messages and said, hey, did Indiana offer him? How big of an IU target was he? He committed to Illinois on Friday. Another talented player in this ultra-good 2021 class in Indiana, in the state, that is. How interested was Archie in Luke Goody? I know they had seen him play. I'm not sure, though, that they had offered him a scholarship.
Yeah, I think that they took a really long, hard look because Luke comes from an IU family, both sides of his. I think both parents went to IU, and he's related to Trent Green, the famous quarterback that played for IU. So there he was definitely open to Indiana more so than a typical recruit. He had good size for a two guard. I think it basically a couple things kept it from happening. I think the Leal and Galloway commitments from the prior class, similar type players, and maybe the fact that Luke was a good shooter but not a great shooter. I think if he had been a great shooter, a 40% type guy from 3-point range, that might have led to an Indiana offer. But he's still a very, you know, outstanding prospect and will play in the Big Ten.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, joining us. Other recruiting stuff right now in this down period where there could be no AAU, no campus visits, lots of contact that we know from IU coaches to prospects across the state and really across the country as well. I think Trey Kaufman said in an interview that he had been contacted at one point a few weeks ago, something like 14 days in a row, by Coach Ostrom. I think it was by FaceTime. So obviously they're keeping the communication going. Mike, I tell you, I've got to say this, and I've thought this a little bit for a while. I'm not sure that I've ever said this on the show, but now that Christian Lander's in the fold and now that Indiana's making some other progress in 2021, I get asked, and of course we're at a stay-at-home time. We're not really out and about, so there's no games to go to or no – you know, not making a lot of trips to restaurants or grocery stores, but I get asked so often, at least daily, it could be a text message, a tweet, someone calls me, I see someone out in the neighborhood, whatever it may be, about Trey Kaufman, and I'm not sure he's at Romeo status yet as far as the interest in his recruitment and where he's going to go, but he sure is very highly wanted by IU fans, and obviously We know the IU coaches as well. He really, with his location in Southern Indiana, with his high ceiling, with the constant improvements he made, the big high school year he had, and on the brink, maybe people thought this spring and summer of getting some of those Duke or UK offers, turning that interest into an offer. He really is beginning, his career's beginning to go down that Romeo Langford path. I don't know that it'll quite get to be the same or if he'll have a chance to pass him or not. I don't know any of that, but I do know that the interest and the fanfare is really building around Trey Kaufman.
Yeah, I think some of that is because other players like Caleb First and especially Christian Lander made their decisions. It kind of cleared the way for the focus to kind of be on Trey and where he goes. And it's interesting because he's a player that might have played himself into some of those big school names with offers and everything this spring. But because there is no play, will those schools jump in, all the way, get both feet in the water with him or not? Carolina is one school that's been in contact, but they did land a really highly ranked kid, a really good power forward this past week. But you know, they need a lot of scholars, they need a lot of players, so they'll probably stay involved. Virginia's, I think, been involved, and Kentucky might jump in at some point here a little bit more than they have. It's interesting, you know. I keep wondering if these schools will kind of jump in without having anything more than contact and not watching any spring play of him against big talented players like they would have seen if it had been a normal year.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, joining us as we start off with some IU basketball recruiting. I mentioned that U of L Athletic Director Vince Tyree was on a virtual deal. I think it was with the athletic board yesterday. And he's had a couple press conferences. Will we hear at all, you think, during this pandemic or during the off season from new AD Scott Dolson or IU coach Archie Miller? I know that the general thought is, I think you share this thought, and a lot of IU media does, that Indiana's pretty tight to the vest when it comes to PR opportunities, or I should say press conference opportunities. But do you think we'll get any kind of update? I know you don't probably know for sure, but it'd be nice to hear from some folks in Bloomington.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. You got a transition period that we're not quite to the official where Scott Dolson is the athletic director. I mean,
true.
I think that's a few weeks away, but less than a month now. And but the Big Ten kind of office, I think, will kind of take the lead, I would think, in speaking for the schools in the conference. Though I know the athletic director of Ohio State made some comments that really played out nationally. I just don't know if somebody who's brand new on the job that hasn't been athletic director before is going to speak to things in any dramatic fashion. But I would expect that we'll hear a little bit more from IU in the coming weeks, but I don't know if we'll hear it in the next few weeks as we go through this kind of from Fred Glass to Scott Dolson transition.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Little football to close things out today. I saw some way too early bowl predictions that had Indiana in the Red Box Bowl for this season. Mike, at this point, I'm just hoping we have a season, have some games to watch.
Yeah, football is close contact and players all over each other. So you just wait and see on that. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. So it's hard for me to say. But football is not like a lot of sports. It's players could easily transmit things. So there has to be a lot of confidence that things are under control for that sport, I think, to be played out this fall.
And just looking ahead at IU football in general, I think there is excitement around this team, if and when the season is played with or without fans, that this team could do some great stuff, could do some record-setting stuff potentially after getting to a bowl game again last year and not quite having success there, but coming close. This team, though, I think the general thought, even some national media has had good things to say about Coach Allen and IU football here recently.
Yeah, they've had some nice pieces to the transfer market and had another good class. You just have the bulk of an eight-win team coming back. So the expectations are very high, especially if Michael Michael Penix can stay injury free for a full season. The potential is there to be a really, you know, maybe the best team this school has seen in decades. The schedule's tougher, but the talent is all there to get some victories that are really noteworthy. And you know, remember, this team almost got to 9 wins. It had a big lead on Tennessee in the second half. So a lot of potential, and a lot of those guys are back.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, still full bore at Pigs.com. Lots of IU basketball recruiting stuff, specifically IU football coverage as well from Pigs and Matt Weaver and the team. And Mike, as always, we appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today.
Matt, appreciate it. Take care.
Mike Pegram, always with us Tuesdays on the program to bring some IU flavor to things on our daily show. All right, final portion of the show. We always do the senior spotlight for spring sport athletes that have had their season basically taken from them. And today we spotlight Connor Christopher. He's a baseball player at Jeffersonville High School, plays for Coach Derek Ellis, and he's had a heck of a high school baseball career. Some of his accomplishments on the field: Hoosier Hills All-Conference in 2018. He was News and Tribune All-Area Second Team in 2018 and 2019. Two-time sectional champ, two-time conference champ, and a three-year varsity player on the Jeffersonville roster. That alone is a big accomplishment. Jeff has been loaded recently in baseball, and a three-year varsity player is Connor Christopher for the Red Devils. Academically, Connor very strong as well. All AB honor roll in 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. National Honor Society member. He has a 4.5 GPA out of a 5.0 scale at Jeffersonville, and he's in the top 45 of his class at Jeffersonville High School. Also very active off the baseball field as well. He's got a little business hustle. He likes to resell sneakers, shoes, which is a popular thing, especially among the kids nowadays, into clothing as well. Likes to play a little rec basketball, likes to spend time with his friends and family also, and kind of makes him a complete athlete on and off the field. Wanted to give a number of shout-outs. His parents, first and foremost, also Cole Christopher, Spencer Freiberger, Gavin Siebold. I know that's one of his baseball buddies. Coach Ellis, the head man at Jeffersonville, and all of his previous and current teammates as well. Connor Christopher is the son of Shannon and Francie Christopher, and when high school wraps up, he will be attending Olney Central College. It's a junior college on a baseball scholarship where he will study business, and I think after a couple of years there, he will definitely get re-recruited to play at another level of college baseball. So congratulations, we say, to Connor Christopher. Outstanding career, part of some great Jeffersonville teams, and we are so sorry your season taken from you because of this pandemic that you had nothing to do with, and we know that it would have been so fun to watch you on the field this year, but we wanted to do our small part and recognize you and all the hard work that you've put in over the years to become a great player at Jeffersonville High School. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday program. Join us Wednesday, Chris Grinham of Forbes Sports. He's a writer for the Boston Celtics. He joins us for a Romeo Langford update. Also, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune on local sports. And we've got our senior spotlight continuing tomorrow as well. Thanks so much for being with me. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.